Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Welcome back to what was supposed to be a very straightforward and easy season preview episode that no longer is only a season preview episode. Thank you to Paolo Dybala. You all know what is going on. Before we get into that, thank you to our two newest patrons over at Patreon, Davide Chico and Martin Malmö. We thank you both for your support. And of course, to our other wonderful patrons who make all of this possible. If you would like to join ahead of the opening day match, just to get a taste of the chaos, patreon.com/RomaPress. And then at Ice Roma Press, YouTube, like, subscribe down below, all of that fun stuff. It allows us again to continue doing everything we do here and with the website. And it makes the days like the previous 48 hours, Andy, interesting, more interesting. It really, if you ever want to get a temperature gauge as to your level of sanity or just want to know that your mental health struggles are not alone, you can join the group chat and you will see just within a matter of seconds on the most banal of subjects, by the way, you will see that it does not take much for one to lose your mind on any various football related topics when it comes to Roma. So again, patreon.com/RomaPress. Well, I thought, again, this was going to be a straightforward season preview episode. We make predictions that we make fun of in 9 months from today. But Paolo Dybala gave us a bit of a surprise, Andy, with this thing that emerged about potentially leaving. It was interesting because, as we know, it coincided not too long after Daniele De Rossi, after the match with Everton. They ask him about the market and he says, you know, people don't want to be here, they don't need to be. Don't really know if that is aimed at somebody or there is a specific target in mind with that.
And it's funny because it's, I just want to say that it's funny because when he said that, a whole bunch of articles came out basically listing each article, each headline, each newspaper listed one different player that could be on his way based on De Rossi. Like, you know, La Repubblica saying, it's Paredes who's going to leave. And then Corriere dello Sport saying, these are warning words for Chris Smalling. And then another newspaper said, well, look out, Brian Cristante, because this definitely applies to you. And then, you know, and then obviously as we saw yesterday in the morning, all those reports broke out that no, it's not them. It's Paolo Dybala who may be up for a move.
Yes. And in fairness, you were the first to sound the alarm that there was going to be chaos. I want to sort of touch upon sort of the dissemination portion of this information, because this checked all of the boxes as to why I hate the transfer market. I hate this sort of big business, so to speak, that it has become. I was messaging with Fabrizio Romano yesterday. 21 million. 21 million Twitter followers. I don't even know how to make sense of a figure like that. Almost 22 million people at the push of a button just seeing a thought that you have. It's maddening to me, because whether you and I want to accept it or not, the transfer market has become, at least in terms of interest, because we have the data on like our website to prove it, like people look and care more now than they do during the season.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
It's a point of view.
It's unbelievable, but it is like that. It's like that. The sport comes in second.
Yes.
To this, which can only be described as entertainment, really.
I feel like such a boomer when I talk like this, but it's a mindset that I cannot comprehend. I cannot understand why the market is forget equal, but significantly higher, probably a rate of 2 or 3 times that what happens during the season. I don't know how, I don't know what it is behind that.
Right.
Obviously, social media has played a large part in it, but it is so maddening to me.
Well, definitely. I mean, a guy like Fabrizio Romano goes from working for Sky Sports, you know, schlepping for Gianluca Di Marzio to being his own star and being one of the biggest personalities in the world, because he makes that entertainment part of it accessible to everyone at the touch of a finger, right? And he engages in every single storyline that comes through. And I bet that what you talked about with him is this thing with Dybala, which I think is, once again, a beautifully cosmic encapsulation of everything that we talked about the market, about the narrative, about everyone having their own story to sell.
The thing that is difficult for me, and by the way, not being on the other side of it, if I was just a reader, a visitor, not involved in the media portion of it, I can understand the frustration where you have a Roma interested in X, and then 5 hours later you have Roma no longer interested in X, or never. This is very simple, and I'm just going to break this down as like simply as I can. The fact of the matter is, whether it is me, Filippo Biafora, Sandro Austini, Maida, e Corriere dello Sport, we publish things that people, either an agent, a player, someone from a club, tells to us. We are not sitting in those rooms. We are not sitting at those negotiation tables. So the things that we publish, they're coming from somebody else. So in a sense, you are having to rely on that other person. Now, of course, you fact check, you cross-reference the things that you publish, but there is only so much. If there's only 2 or 3 people in a room at that negotiating table, you will be lucky if you get more than one perspective on the situation. So when you have, because yesterday it somewhat bothered me when about the Paulo Dybala thing, because I spoke to somebody at Roma. They came out and said, well, we never approved or encouraged or gave to...
No. First step, Gianluca Di Marzio tweets that Roma have authorized Paulo Dybala to open negotiations with El Catzai. Okay, go on.
Okay, so that's where this whole thing begins. It begins with Sky Sport, with, as you said, Gianluca Di Marzio saying that, yes, Roma approved, gave the thumbs up, gave the okay, the all clear, whatever way you want to describe it, for Paulo Dybala to negotiate. Okay, fine. Well, naturally, now that we hear that, I think anybody involved in the media is going to go to Roma and ask to them, hey, is this true? Now, I can't imagine I was the first one yesterday to approach to Roma and them come out and say immediately, no, we never approved anything. We never gave to Dybala or to his agents the authorization to negotiate with any club. That never happened. We are in the dark just as much as you are. Okay? And there are the messages to prove that that this is what Roma's perspective on the situation was. And just as an aside, when any newspaper, website, whoever, when they say like a club official, a club spokesperson, whoever, it's going to be like one of two people. It's either going to be someone at a club's media, someone on the sporting side, like an executive or a director, sometimes a coach, maybe. Like, that's it, okay? They're not going to speak on the record. They want to remain anonymous because they don't want to put their name to it. And it's easier to disseminate information that way. Completely normal stuff happens in every newspaper, website around the world. Doesn't matter if it's sport, football, politics, it doesn't matter. This is normal stuff. So when people ask me after I publish a story where Roma come out and somebody at Roma said to me, yes, we never told Dybala it's okay to negotiate. Now, if people say, well, where did Roma say this? Did they give an interview? Did they post it on the website? No, no, they didn't. I just messaged to them and they responded. It's that simple.
But why is there so much doubt? Because again, let me just more insight into the yesterday story. Fabrizio Romano goes on and says, the agent of Paulo Dybala has almost agreed on everything with Alcaçia. There is almost complete agreement for personal terms in terms of salary, in terms of contract length. At the same time, Gianluca Di Marzio publishes a report that says Dybala has been presented the new offer and he has still not made the decision and he will take time to reflect on this situation. So as a, you know, as an external person, you know, observing from the outside, looking into this whole situation, trying to make sense of it.
I understand it, yes.
You can't because it's like everybody's selling the story of the person that they're contacting. And depending on who you contact, whether it's the agent, whether it's the club rep, whether it's one of the emissaries from Alcaçia, whether it's an executive at Alcaçia, you don't know whose version you're getting.
Exactly. And for every single transfer negotiation, there are three parties involved. Player and then two clubs. Player, should say four if you want to add the agent into it, but I put the agent with the player. So four, okay? Player, agent, two clubs. Realistically, given that, you can get four, you could have four people in the same room hearing the same words, speaking the same things. The end of that meeting, you will get four different perspectives as to what the things that said, what they mean. You will get four different narratives. So that's how, as you said, when you have a story like this Dybala one, you're going to have clashing narrative, clashing storylines. Now, I am going to assume, because I have not been speaking to Dybala's side of things, because I think I have made my opinion on his agents. He has two agents, but I've made my opinion on him very clear. I would assume Gianluca Di Marzio is talking to probably both the agent and Roma. Fabrizio Romano, I don't know who specifically he spoke to. Based on the way the information to him was disseminated, I am going to assume he is speaking and getting the information from Alcaçia and Paulo Dybala's side. So that is how things sort of clash, how you have one, like, what is the truth? And that is a difficulty in it, even for you and I, because we can only rely upon what we are hearing. I put out what Roma said to me. I'm not in that room. You're not in that room. Filippo Biafora is not in that room. Angelo Mangiante is not in that room. We can only go based on what we are told. And that is where the difficulty in this comes from. Now, that aside, this storyline, the dissemination of all of it aside, this is something where I evaluate this operation just on its face. And I can look at it from, okay, should he go, should he stay? I put that completely aside because, like many things in life, this one comes down to timing. I don't care whether you like Paulo Dybala or not, whether you think technically he is the correct answer. For me, timing is everything in life, whether it's sports or not, okay? If you just say the word, if you are right before you get onto the metro and you say, I'm coming, that's an appropriate time to say, like, before you step foot onto the metro, you're coming, okay? You're coming. You're going to be there. Once you get on the metro, saying, I'm coming, that means something way different, okay? Timing is everything. So if you were to tell me in June that
I'm not going to make any sexual innuendos. I'm going to refrain from making any sexual innuendos because this is a respectable show.
Yeah, you know, my older children have started to listen to this. I really have to bear that in mind.
Oh, that's very dangerous.
Yeah, that one. I'll be on my best behavior. Delete that out. Oh my gosh, put the explicit warning like how they used to advisory. Back in the 90s. Every time I had to get an Eminem CD. So if you were to tell me, Andy, in June, Paulo Dybala, there is the possibility he will leave. Okay. I can probably digest that far, far easier than mid-August, 3 days before your season begins. Last week in the episode, 5 days ago, we're talking about, oh, this is great. You have most of the team already in place. It's not going to be like last season where you have to wait, until the fourth match to have everybody available. We are not going to be sort of running with our heads on fire before the gong sounds, and we don't know what the team is going to look like. We have all of the pieces in place here. This is, for the most part, what Roma will look like this season. And now we don't know. And you just published before we started on here about from Argentina there, saying Paulo Dybala is going to accept the contract proposal from the Saudi side. So who knows? Roma right now, they just responded to me. They haven't heard anything still. Again, I find that hard to believe. I swear to God,
at the same time, there's people reporting that his entourage are saying, no, there is no deal. Then there is people in Argentina saying, Roma have found an agreement with Alcaçaya. So everybody's going crazy. When you say timing, this situation, I'm thinking that it's been quite frequent over the last few years to have these kind of deals out of the blue. Remember, Edin Dzeko, Roma prepare. The Mourinho's first preseason with Edin Dzeko in mind, the veteran who will continue to play at least one more year for Roma, in order to help Mourinho settle into his new life in the capital. And Edin Dzeko, after a couple of weeks, just takes up and leaves. Nemanja Matic last year. For whatever reason, we still don't know what happened. There was only rumors that he couldn't register his kids at the school he wanted. We don't know what happened, but Nemanja Matic, within a span of 2 weeks, goes from being an undisputable starter to being sent off to Rennes. And
3 hours after he posted a photo of him at the Colosseum, yeah,
by the way.
Take much of Paulo Dybala posting a photo of himself at training yesterday.
Matias Sule did the same at Juve. He posted his photos in training, even though he wanted to go to Roma all along. So the thing about it, this, obviously, is the timing. I know that there is a lot of people are upset, rightfully so. Personally, I've grown thick skin when it comes to the transfer market. I think football, especially now, is really becoming about these revolving doors. You can't put your hope into football players and football clubs. Really, that's the sports that the idea of sport that you like is most likely gone by now, replaced by a much more business-oriented side of things. And this is the case, when you have these the players who, we were prepared, as you say, to face a situation where Paulo Dybala could leave, because we knew that he has a release clause active throughout all of July. Teams could have taken him on for 12 million euros. That was it. That's all it took to sign Paulo Dybala in July. That did not happen. The release clause expired on July 31st. For Dybala, it's only a matter of playing 14 more games for Roma to trigger an automatic renewal. So yes, his contract right now expires next year. I want people to know that, because right now I'm seeing people say how much Roma could make out of Paulo Dybala. Well, right now, a 31-year-old player with an injury history and with only 1 year left on his contract, despite Paulo Dybala's quality, is not going to go for much. I'm just saying. But there is the possibility that, hey, if he were to stay, he'd be playing for an additional year to his contract. And that's something that we could have been looking forward to. Now, the fact that 3 days before Cagliari-Roma, we are talking about our best player, one of the best players of the 21st century for Roma, could potentially leave and go to Saudi for a lot of money. There is rumors of him potentially earning up to over 60 million euros over 3 years. If you add bonuses to that, it could probably reach 80 million. Who knows?
Yes.
So he's settled for life in that case. For Roma, that's a huge void. It's a huge void. It's a big problem, not only for us fans, but also for Daniele De Rossi, who is being wrongfully harassed. And it's this is the thing that always puts me off about the sport, puts me off not only about Roma, but also just football in general, is how the majority of fans don't connect the real life consequences with their actions. So Daniele De Rossi right now is being harassed for supposedly being a yes man to Roma opening up to Dybala's sale, which I think nothing could be further from the truth. If De Rossi's statement shocked somebody, the fact that, hey, everybody, you know, those who are not happy can go. I mean, that's the mantra that every club has. If someone's not happy, they can leave. At least the teams that want to make something happen, that's the way it goes. You have someone who's unhappy. You have someone who's making a lot of money in the club, but is not happy, wants to leave. Doors open, especially in teams that need everybody, like Roma. Roma do not have the luxury of having numerous players of Dybala's quality. So it's a team effort. You have to have everybody on board. If you have someone who's unhappy but is getting a lot of minutes, well, then that someone will probably not be productive enough. What Daniele De Rossi said is totally normal. Whether that applied to Paulo Dybala specifically, that's a whole other matter. What I'm seeing right now, John, is just another example of the transfer market, I think, spiraling totally out of control in the last few years. You know, teams willing to throw obscene amounts of money and players demanding obscene amounts of money. Because in recent weeks, we spent so much time talking about, say, Federico Chiesa requesting these absurd quantities, these absurd figures, given his situation. And then you hear exactly a club like Al-Qatsaya, who is just willing to come out with a few days left until kickoff to the new season and buying their way to one of the best players Roma have arguably ever seen, just like that, at the snap of a finger. That's crazy. That's what football has come down to, is that a club like Al-Qatsaya, a club that's not even that good in the Saudi Pro League, look at their standings, a club like that can just walk up to a player of Paulo Dybala's caliber and say, you know what, we're going to offer you unbelievable, unbelievable money, to the extent that you will be set for life and your generations will be set for life. That is what is wrong with the sport. That is why I don't have those reactions. I don't have those heated reactions anymore. I used to have them. I think I've just grown used to the fact that you just can't rely on this sport to provide you with some kind of through line, you know. It was easy to get attached to guys like Francesco Totti or Daniele De Rossi in Roma's case. It's becoming more and more difficult to get attached because these are the rules. There are no rules. This is the reality of it. Al-Qatsaya walks up, throws a bunch of money, and there you go. You got Paulo Dybala, who all of a sudden feels tempted. Perhaps, obviously, also, there is motivation on his side. He's seeing Matias Sule play a major role in Roma's plans, perhaps Tommaso Baldanzi getting his minutes. Whatever it is, something makes him reconsider his future plans, and he goes from being all the way in on Roma to being all the way in on Saudi Arabia.
It is maddening that this can happen, especially to so late. And this is something that I have advocated for years ago. I said, you should make the transfer market. Just let it begin in June. Change the entire way the league calendar. Now, FIFA would never do this because obviously the league, the official season ends 30 June. 1 July, you begin the new year, technically. They would never change that. But this thing with the transfer market, for it to be open at this time, I don't know how or why any team or any club, no matter where, or how big, how small, why you would be open to this market leaking so deep into your season. I mean, whether we want to think it or not, they begin the season, okay, this weekend. You have some, you'll have 2 to 4 matches played before the market closes. That is, I just think about last season too, especially the detrimental effect that late market had on the season of Roma. When you have the margins being so thin between Champions League, Europa League, no European football at all, I just can't stand this.
And more clubs struggling financially, where yes, it really becomes a market of opportunities. It's what we always say. It's a market of opportunities, which means sometimes you have to wait really late for everything to, you know, look at Milan and Fofana. It's happening now. Do you know when he was being linked at first? He was being linked with Milan in May, okay?
Yes.
We're in August, and it's starting to take shape now. Fofana is supposed to join Milan in the coming days after the start of Serie A. So that's over 3 months of negotiations for the player to come through to a club like Milan, a club that is playing in the Champions League, a club that has a healthy financial situation. They have to struggle for 3 months to lure someone of Fofana's caliber. That's the market of opportunities. Like for Roma with Lukaku last year, no matter how much you plan, right now there is just, it's too difficult for a lot of teams, especially in Italy, where things don't happen 1-2-3 the way they do in the Premier League. In Italy, it's getting more and more complicated. The season starts really early. The players that are arriving don't even have time to gel. I mean, so many of our signings over recent years have failed, not only, okay, because of their questionable quality or whatever you want to say, but I think also just because they never had proper time to figure things out.
Yes.
Even think about exactly like a guy like Andrea Belotti, you know, spends basically 4 months training on his own and comes in when everything's done and dusted, can never settle in. Lukaku, it takes him a few months of individual training and then in order to get back into playing shape. Also, Tammy Abraham, when he joins Roma, also comes off the bench for Chelsea or not, doesn't play at all, comes in late. That's what happens. Unfortunately, this is we are at the mercy of this new reality. Of course, there is one thing that I see people get mad about, and that's the main point that people are bringing up to Daniele De Rossi, is why is the club not doing something to keep Paulo Dybala? If indeed the offer is there, if indeed Roma have been made aware of the situation. I don't know, man. I think in these circumstances, it really comes down to someone changing their mind within 2 hours, you know?
Yes.
If Paulo Dybala gets a phone call from one day to the next with his agent pleading him, saying, listen, last night I've met with these people, and these people are presenting you with over 20 million euros per season. 20 million. How much is Dybala making right now, John?
More than that.
About to make 6 million. Make 6 5 million
plus
going
bonus.
Into this.
Yes.
Okay.
Net.
Yeah. Okay. Then what are we saying? He's going to be making over three times what he's making right now for the next 3 years. Because if he were to stay at Roma, he only has the option to renew his contract for an additional year, which means 2 more years. At El Cassia, he's got 3 years. For someone like Paulo Dybala, who is 31 years old, whose injuries are becoming more and more frequent and can't take a toll on him in the long term, why in the hell would you not reconsider this possibility, this opportunity? You just got married. Perhaps you want to have kids. Hey, it'd be nice. It'd be nice to guarantee their future and the future of their kids and the future of the kids' kids, okay? That'd be awesome. And that's a possibility that can only happen if you go to play for Al Kitsaya.
Yeah, well, and that is also a reason why I will never begrudge a player for that. Maybe this is a perspective I can only have from having half a dozen children. I will never begrudge a player for doing that, man. Your career is so short, and you have such a, particularly at this level, you have such a finite amount of time, and it can end like that. It can be over. All, and as you said, given his injury history, it's not far-fetched to believe that could happen tomorrow.
Listen, but why? And I see people now in the chat grasping, trying to take hold of anything, saying, why would he do it right now if the World Cup is in 2 years? Doesn't he want to play the World Cup? Paulo Dybala, in his best season in years, wasn't called up to play the Copa America. Okay?
Correct. Right.
He finished the season with 16 goals, 9 assists. He still didn't make the cut to Copa America. If he doesn't make the cut now, he's not going to make the cut in 2 years when he's 33, okay? Regardless if he plays at Roma or if he plays in Saudi, doesn't matter. It's not going to happen. I can understand someone like N'Golo Kanté going to Saudi and still playing for the national team. Paulo Dybala is not that guy, unfortunately. Never will be for Argentina. That's the point, is what do you do when you're presented with a once-in-a-lifetime chance? I mean, this is what they make movies about this. Paulo yes. Dybala right now is presented with a movie scenario. If you ask me, Roma, the club whose player has been approached so intensely by another club, can really only watch and try to cope with the situation, try to contain the consequences of it, try not to let other players get too down. Because again, people rightfully point out, Matias Sule came to play with Paulo Dybala. How many games is he going to play with him? You know, players who all point to Paulo Dybala being the technical leader of the team. What's going to happen to the morale of the team as the season is about to kick off? What will happen to Roma's transfer market? Who will we replace Dybala with if he goes? Those are all questions that Roma have to address in order to contain this situation. But I think anytime a club is faced with this kind of occurrence of another club just splashing unreal money on a player, you can't do much. If yes. Even if Roma were to open a negotiation for a new contract for Dybala, what can they offer him? What? 6 million? Seven? 7.5? I mean, Roma are in the process of slashing their wage bill, okay? It's not going to happen. So,
yeah, but that thinking has gotten them in trouble before and is part of the reason why they have had so many problems with contracts. I don't want them to do that, in fact.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying, is that's not part of the policy anymore. So we have to understand that it's only right for us to be upset about a situation that could have been solved in June or July. Again, in July, the release clause was active. Paulo Dybala already rejected approaches from the Saudi league, so perhaps something happened along the way in the meantime. But Roma find themselves with their hands tied, only 3 days away from kickoff to Serie A. At least that's the way I see it. I see the club being just the observers and waiting patiently for Paulo Dybala. The future of Paulo Dybala is in the hands of Paulo Dybala. I don't buy the stories of Roma pushing Paulo Dybala. Let me say that clearly. I don't buy the stories of Roma pushing Paulo Dybala out of the club. I don't buy them.
No, and here is the thing, and you just took the words right out of my mouth. At the end of the day, again, you are not in that meeting room. I'm not in that meeting room. None of us are. No journalists, no reporters, nothing. You have agents, clubs, that's it. Regardless of whatever narratives arrives out of this, at the end of the day, this move only happens because of one person, Paulo Dybala. He will either stay at Roma or he will leave Roma because that is what he wants. That's it. That, for me, the entire thing ends there. Yes, maybe there are some Roma offering him a new contract. Okay. Whatever emerges from this, this move only happens because of one single person wanting it to happen. Paulo Dybala, and that's it. I don't really care beyond that because it doesn't matter because it's the same end result. If he ends up leaving, it's the same end result. So I don't really care what did or didn't happen in the buildup to that. It only happens, as always, if a player wants a move, he is going to get it. We just saw 2 weeks ago with Dolph Beek, okay? If you want to leave, you are going to leave. Okay. It does not matter. If a player wants to go, more often than not, absolutely, they will get their wish. So
Osimhen at Napoli. Osimhen at Napoli. Napoli are playing without a striker right now. Napoli are about to start the season without a striker, with Raspadori leading the line. Why? Because Osimhen wants to leave. He's not taking into consideration anything. This is when you are dealing with the transfer market, when you're dealing with egos, you're dealing with personalities, and above all, you're dealing with lots and lots of money. And you can be angry at the fact that, hey, we're getting linked with Jeremy Boga, we're getting linked with Federico Chiesa as potential replacements for Paulo Dybala. Whatever the names are, I don't care. The point stands that right now you're confronted with a reality that perhaps Daniele De Rossi grasps. Perhaps that the comment that he made was in reference to this, to a player who could very easily change his mind at the snap of a finger just because he's been presented a major chance to alter his life and the life of his future generations. Because if Daniele De Rossi sees in training that Dybala is restless and that Dybala is coming up to him and saying, listen, I got, they're putting pressure on me, and maybe my agent is gonna meet with these people, and there is this offer waiting for me at the table. What can you say to that? What can you say to a player who's like, hey, I'm getting offered 20 million a year, you know? What can you say to that as the coach, regardless of what articles are saying that, oh, perhaps Daniele De Rossi reassured him of his centrality to the project. To the project? Who cares? What's the project? What's the project to someone who's been offered 20 million euros a season? What is the project? Who cares if you're going to be competing for Champions League football when you could be making over 60 million euros on a three-year contract, and then who knows, you just retire, go back to Argentina and cook carne asada, you know? Who cares? So that's all I'm saying is, this is the perfect depiction of the unpredictability of the market, which depends on players and on vast amounts of money.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. There is very little that can be done. At the end of the day, as I said, I will just reiterate my position. If a player wants a move, he's going to get it. All right, well, let's take these like last 2 minutes to predict the entire season of Roma, or preview it, I should say. So I will put it on the screen.
Remember when we actually were making like ratings, predictions, and stuff like that? Remember the good old times where we would be like, Robin Olsen, what is going to be his rating at the end of the season? Then we all be like, it's going to be a 7 out of 10. And then it wasn't.
All right. Well, here, I'm going to put it on the screen right now. For those of you listening, I will read it out very quickly. Opta, they did this simulation, one of their, I don't know, mega computers or something. I think they called it the Opta supercomputer, that took all of these variables and made the prediction for what is going to happen this season. So they predict, or Optus Computer, I should say, predicted Inter to finish first, followed by Atalanta, Juve, Milan, and then Roma fifth, Bologna sixth, Lazio seventh, Napoli eighth, Fiorentina nine,
okay,
Toro 10. And then at the bottom, the last three, I don't want to go through the whole list, but in the relegation zone, they had Venezia, Cagliari, and Como finishing bottom of the table. And this again, these nerds, you know, adopt, I don't know everything that goes into this, but still, this is what their predictor came out with.
Yes.
They have Roma finishing fifth, which is probably the
exact position. So it's the same old story. Yeah, what are we talking about? These are the same thing. Does this take a lot of work? Like, are these people, or are these machines actually overheating and killing icebergs and driving climate change up to the wall?
Yeah, maybe.
Is this really? Because I could come up with that list and you would not hear about it. This would not be breaking news. I could tell you right here, right now, that if I were to put my finger on where would Roma will end up, fifth. is the safe choice, because yes. guess what? That's more or less where we've been ending up in the last few years. So I don't feel going into this season that we can say with certainty what Roma will or will not achieve. You could debate that at the start of the season, what grade you can give to the transfer market. I don't think so. Obviously, we are still have 2 weeks to go, over 2 weeks to go until the window is closed. But what we're saying right now is Roma are going into this season more or less with the same feeling that we got when we exited last season. As in, this is a team that has done some good things. There have been a lot of underwhelming things. I don't think that in preseason we've seen much of a new Roma in terms of what is taking shape. I think there are some interesting players there. I think it will be good to see if your second lines are finally strong. That's, for me, the main question that I'm curious to see if there is an answer to it is, do you have now finally the depth? The one thing that you've been preaching for so long, because not only De Rossi is not the only one who's been asking for depth for many years. I think depth has been an issue since the days of Paulo Fonseca, really. So that will be interesting. Can you field two teams really out of this roster, and can you stay competitive? Those are the big questions. I don't think with certain you can say anything about where Roma will end up in the Coppa Italia, in Europa League, in Serie A. The main concern for me is, does this team have what it needs to stay competitive? Because what we've seen in the last few years, and the reason why we are saying that fifth place is not that crazy of a prediction, is because Roma have had these massive ups and downs in terms of competitiveness. And that is something that I'm desperate to see change soon.
Yeah, that is the big unknown for me, the depth. There is, for me as well, seeing what this team does from a tactical point of view. Yes, we know, De Rossi was really doing things on the fly. When he comes in January, he overhauls things. Well, now you have the full preseason. You had a proper preseason with him. You would hope that the way of playing or the mindset that you had under Jose Mourinho was gone. Okay, now we've adapted. I'm curious to see how quickly they are able to adjust. And beyond that, I'm not going into this expecting top four. Perhaps it will aid me in my ability to digest the inevitable disappointments that we will experience at some point. But as far as on paper, and when it comes to Roma and on paper, the trophy cabinet is 10 times more full. They do have the ability to finish in the top four, right? I mean, if we're just saying on paper, yeah? I mean, they do have that ability.
They should. They should, or at least in terms of organization, they should have it. This is as good as it gets in terms of having continuity in the squad, obviously, minus this Dybala situation. And also, you have the tactical continuity, as in you have a coach with clear tactical ideas who's been able to dedicate an entire preseason to the implementation of these ideas, which is not something that we've afforded the likes of exactly Paulo Fonseca. Mourinho, in his first year, didn't have that much time. Later on, obviously, we know what happened. I think there is also something to be said about last year's preseason. A lot of people questioning the intensity that the team played with. I think this year, the preseason was good. You could see that this was an area of focus for De Rossi. It is what he stressed very much in his final interviews of last season was the intensity. Roma must go into the preseason with intensity. They need the energy. They need to be able to sustain more in terms of pace, in terms of physicality. They cannot allow themselves to be outrun by someone like Frimpong. You know, that was the main question. Why is Zaleski getting murdered by Frimpong? Why is this guy getting completely outrun by the opponent. And it's something that we as fans pointed out most. I mean, obviously, remember that match against Milan, third match of the season against Milan, and Milan completely annihilated us in terms of energy yes. levels. That is something that I'm curious. Can we avoid seeing such disgraceful displays? That, to me, that's damage control. Really, it's about seeing, can we minimize the errors that we've made in the past that have driven us to this point?
Yeah, I obviously that is going to be important. With Roma, very rarely is it about the quality. It is always the mental, the character point of view with Roma, which is why I would love to go into this weekend against Cagliari saying, wow, this Cagliari sucks. They suck. Look at them on paper. I don't care if, Ranieri is not there anymore. Frankly, I thought I thought we were going to get the early purge when comes out midweek. They signed Palomino, a guy who only produces against Roma and the other 36 steroids. Matches. Yes, and steroids and gear. And I thought it's the perfect confluence.
And snaps Paulo Dybala's leg.
Yes, well, I thought that was already the step or the first.
Is that first why? That do you think is that's why Paulo Dybala reconsidered his future at Roma? Is because he saw that Palomino is going to be right there on opening match day?
Yeah, I mean, I have a very large feeling the guy's not going to play, but maybe. I mean, even if he comes on for 2 minutes. I mean, I'm not going to go into this, like diving into Cagliari, what they did in the summer, as if that even has, or should have, even the slightest bearing.
It almost sounds like we're taking shots at other podcasts who do that. They delve deeply into the signings that the opponent has made over the course of the summer. John, would you mind going to the signings made by Cagliari, please? I want us to dive into this. Really interesting, very, very insightful part of the program. No, of course, Davide Nicola, appointed coach, who cares what Cagliari have done? I don't care. Who cares? The point of the whole idea behind this part of the season, the very first few days, is to see a team that is not hesitant to come out of the gate swinging. It's something that we haven't seen in the last 2-3 years. I would argue that that's perhaps with the exception of Mourinho's first season, where remember even Eldor Shomurodov was producing in those games against Trabzonspor. Yeah, crazy. Yes. That's been something that we haven't been able to do. Is we've been lethargic, to say the least, in the opening games of the season. That obviously took a toll on us in the long term. That's all I care about, is do Roma have it in them to go out there on Sunday and right from the get-go prove that they are the far superior team in this matchup, which they have to be. And then can they do the same against Empoli? Okay, those are two perfect fixtures to start your season with. The problem is we said that same thing last year when we faced Salernitana and Hellas Verona. And guess what? How many points we recorded? Yeah, not great.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. My problem with this Roma is they always, for some reason, I mean, really, ever since the first year one, Rudy Garcia, they just come out firing on all cylinders, 10 in a row. Since then, for some reason, they have become under the illusion that they can ease their way into the season. They hardly ever begin with any intensity, any character. And we're sitting there at the end of the season saying, oh my gosh, if we had just won that match, oh, 4 points, we missed out on Champions League. I'm saying, these are the ones. This is why I say every single season, I had to say the stupid thing in, February, March, April, that the points you are missing now, okay, you always regret the early ones. The ones you drop early, you always end up missing the most in those final rounds of the season. And every single season, we can look through the first three rounds of Serie A, and we can see poor result after poor result without, really, for the last decade. There is absolutely no exception. None. So I want them to come out, and I don't care how ugly it is. It's Cagliari. It's Sardegna. It's not going to be beautiful. It's going to be ugly. It's Davide Nicola. The guy is going to...
It's going to be hot.
It is... you are going
for
to
Americans,
get a team.
That's Sardinia in August is the equivalent of the Texas panhandle.
Yeah, it's like... and it is going to be against the team that is going to shithouse for 38 rounds the entire season. You are going to get a team that tries to shithouse its way because every single point they earn is gold. It is gold to them. So you go out, you win. I don't care if it's 1-0, 2-1, 3-1. I do not care. I am just tired of after three match days sitting there with Roma having 2 points, with Roma having 3 points. I mean, just think about that. After three rounds, you are already missing 4-6 crucial points that you dropped for no reason other than just not being up to it, not having the intensity. It has nothing else beyond that. So that's all I care about. That's what I want to see. I'm tired of every single month, beginning month of the season, sitting there, and we have to talk about, oh my gosh, we went to Veneto and we lost to Verona. A Verona that is crap. Oh my gosh, we lost at home to Salernitana, even though Andrea Belotti is going to score like 1/3 of the goals of his time at Roma in one single match. We still lost because of Candreva scoring one from 55 yards out. I am so sick of it. I'm tired of it. I just, come on. You make us suffer enough from January to March. Just give us some professionalism, some intensity to begin. That is all I ask. That is all I ask. I'm not asking for 3 goals. I'm not asking, for poker or something. No, you don't need to score 3. Don't need to score 4. Just get the victory. That is all I care about. I just looked at who Cagliari purchased this summer. It looks like one of those creative player names that you get in FIFA or NBA. Like, they just created a fake name. I don't know who these guys are. Give me a break. Just win. That's it. That's all I care about. You can lose to Juve in a few weeks. I'm not going to sit here and complain. Just win this game. That's all I ask, okay? We're going to leave it there. Oh, my gosh. Well, cheers, everyone. You made it. Let the season begin. The suffering begins now. We will be here throughout the entire thing. As always, thank you for joining us, and we will be back after the match on Sunday. So until then, ciao.